our service this evening because of the wake, the viewing that's going on for Janet Smith. So if those of you that would like to go over this evening, that would be fine. I'll probably be done by 8 or sooner. So the wake is till 9 this evening. So if you wanted to go over there, it'd be more than fine. Why don't we take a minute just, though, to open up your Bibles to the book of Numbers. As I've been preparing for the funeral for tomorrow, I've been thinking about this issue between what we would call the physical world and the non-physical world, the material world and the spiritual world. And I couldn't think of a better example, since it was right in the middle of my Bible reading, to use than Balaam's donkey. Numbers, chapter number, where is it? 22. Now, Balaam himself requires an entire service. Now, we don't have time for that, but Balaam is an interesting dude. I mean, he shows up out of nowhere, and it seems like he has a relationship with God. He knows about God's people. And yet he's a swindler. He's more interested in money. Kind of sounds like, Elijah's servant when he heals Naaman of his leprosy. And Elijah basically says, I'm not even going to take a shoestring. You can't pay me. You can't bribe me. You can't. No way. Well, Balaam's just the opposite. He's interested in a payoff. He is a prophet ready for hire. He's more than interested in finding out what's in it for me. And it's fascinating as you read his life. It's only about, there's a lot said about him in the New Testament as well. But here he is. Well, we might as well warm us up to him. We'll start in verse 22, verse number 1. And I'm not going to say much, but I think it's clear some things that are said here in light of and in spite of our theme for the essential and the enduring word. Chapter 2, Numbers 22, verse 1. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho. Okay, what you don't see is you don't see a pause. You don't see that between chapter 21 and chapter 22 is 38 years of wandering. Do you see it? No, it's not there, but trust me, it's there. Where, Pastor? You have to mark it down. Because if you don't study to show yourself approved, you'll have no idea. You're going to read chapter 21 and go into chapter 22 thinking, whoa, these flow right into another. No, they don't. Now you know. There's a pause of 38 years. How do I know? Where are they? They're on the other side of Jericho. They're ready to go in. That must mean all the information in the book of Deuteronomy is getting ready to prepare them to go in. So the new generation of Israelites is here. And Balak, the son of Zippor, however you pronounce that, Zippor's idiot, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. So here was a king. How do I know that? Well, it says in verse 4. But these guys were watching and monitoring. They had their spies out. What's going on in the desert? They knew. And Moab was sore afraid of the people, these Israelites, because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. Why? Because they'd beat up on the Amorites. Verse 4. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. Okay, so we have a king who's concerned. 5. He sent messengers, therefore, unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people to call him, saying, so here again, out of the clear blue sky, and this story is so confusing because you have two guys with basically the same name. So if you don't use colored pencils, good luck. That's why colored pencils and I are friends. Because I want my Bible to help me, not hinder me. Balaam is raspberry. It's easy for me to remember Balaam. Balak is pink. I always give pink to guys that are women. Pharaoh in Egypt, he's pink, just so you know. Balak is pink. He sent messengers, therefore, unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, so the king is calling Balaam. Behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I might drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. All right, so Balaam, we find out something. What do we find out about him? He's got a reputation. That's why the king is willing to employ him. What's his reputation? Whom thou blessed is blessed, and whom you curse is cursed. Okay, get it? At least we know that much about him. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed, note, with the rewards of divination in their hand. All right, so in my Bible, anything that has to deal with money is yellow-green. Because it looks like money. So the rewards of divination basically mean your paycheck. What are you willing to give me? Now, these are the rewards of divination. Should a man of God or a child of God accept anything that has to do with Satanism or the occult or anything? Bribery? No, of course not. So this is a key concept in this life of Balaam. And they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. So the messengers went with, as they say in the paper industry, when you can't hear anybody talk, this is what they do. That means you got so much money that your pockets are bulging. So they had money, and they were going to pay this guy off to do what the king wanted. And the elders of Moab, oh, we did that. Verse 8, and he said unto them, this kind of reminds me of Lot. Instead of kicking these guys out immediately, he says, oh, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again. Notice, as the Lord shall speak unto me. You're just tempting the devil here. He should have never let those these people in. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. Not only did they abode in the town or wherever he was, it seems like he hosted them. Verse 9, and God came unto Balaam and said, as only God can, what men are these with thee? Like, what are you doing? And Balaam said unto God, Balak, the son of Zippor, as if God didn't know. So he's going to explain to God what this is all about. Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent unto me, saying, again, as if God is surprised, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. That's pretty plain, right? Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. Make sense? And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get you into your land. Now, if there would have been a period there, that'd be enough. But nope. There's something else going on. For the Lord refuses to give me leave to go with you. I mean, I'd be willing to go. I mean, you promised me all this money. I'd be willing to go if it wasn't for the Lord who's in the way. So there must have been an opening there somewhere. How do we know? Because the king inquired of him three times. Okay? All right. Verse 14. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak and said, Balaam refuseth to come with us. Period. But I'm sure somewhere in that description, there must have been the door that said, but he'd be willing if the Lord wasn't in the way. You know, Christians, I'd be willing to do that, but you know, God says, I can't. I can't really. But under other circumstances, I don't know. Verse 15. And Balak sent yet again princes. What's the next word? More. That means in number. But, and more honorable than they. Which means they had double money. These were people that were more impressive, had titles above and beyond those peons that came to me the first time. These guys are more honorable. And they came to Balaam and said unto him, thus saith Balak, the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. So the king is saying, let nothing hinder you. God, money, nothing. For I will promote thee unto very great honor and riches and wealth. And I'll make it worth your while. And I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go. Period? No. I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Doesn't that sound spiritual? Come on now, folks. Doesn't that sound like I got this? I am God's man. I'm in God's pocket. Nobody can buy me. Just read on. Just read on. Balaam's a phony. He's a fake. Now, therefore, I pray thee, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. As if you didn't get it the first time. Why are you hosting these guys the second time? Again, it's Lot. This is opening the door to temptation. This is a disaster waiting to happen. Get out of here. Go back home. Doesn't say that. Verse 20. And the Lord came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. Now, isn't that weird? Have you ever had an answer to prayer that you thought God was answering your prayer and God wasn't in it anywhere? Hello, is anybody home? Oh, I prayed about it, Pastor. This is God's will for my life. Oh, really? Really? Now, if you know anything about the story of Balaam, you know God's setting him up. This is, I hate to say it, sarcasm 101. Or this is God's setup to teach Balaam a lesson. Okay? This is what I said the first time. Now they've come back again and you've entertained them a second time. Okay? So now basically what I'm going to do is I'm going to allow you to have what you want. Have you read the part about the quail yet? If we were in Egypt, we'd have all this meat. And God says, okay, you hungry? I'll give you a month's worth of quail. It's going to be coming out of your nose. And I'm going to kill the fattest of you. God answered their prayer, didn't he? Was it God's will for them to have quail? No. But they pray for it, and they say, oh, it must be God's will for us to stuff ourselves and be gluttons. No, no, no. So here we have a similar example. Balaam is out of God's will. And God says, oh, if this is what you want to do. Verse 21. And Balaam rose up in the morning. Why? Because he knows double money's on the other end of this trip. This is going to be a profitable journey. And saddled his donkey and went with the princes of Moab. Now you look at verse 22 and you say, wait a minute, what's going on here? God's anger was kindled because he went. Doesn't that seem like a biblical contradiction? God said yes, and God's mad. Well, God first said, don't go. But God knew his motive. God knew he had opened that door and left that door open. So therefore, the king sent other people. Anyway, I love it. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now, this is the classic Christophany. This is where Jesus shows up before his incarnation. He shows up in the Old Testament as the angel of the Lord. Joshua, the angel of the Lord, showed up in Genesis 18 with Abraham and Sarah, the three angels, the three strangers, remember? That was Jesus there. I mean, the Lord of heaven, God the Father, can't come down, so he sends his right-hand man, who happens to be Jesus. So he comes down, stands in the way as an adversary against him. Now he, Balaam, because he's in Raspberry, was riding upon his ass, and his two servants with him were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way. Now the angel of the Lord was invisible. Balaam didn't see it. The donkey did. This is a great story for Vacation Bible School. This is perfect. You know what I mean? This is so cool. And his sword drawn in his hand, just like when Joshua was there. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass and turned her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself onto the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. And he, Balaam, smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. Look at the next three words. You wonder who that angel of the Lord was? It says, the Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That means the Lord is now equal to the angel of the Lord. So therefore, there's pretty good evidence that this is a pre-incarnate Christ. The Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and I love it. She, the donkey, said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? I'm convinced Disney got a hold of this back in the day and decided to make cartoons and make animated things talk. Where did he get his script from? Numbers chapter 22. Made a lot of money out of that, didn't he? Still doing it. And Balaam said unto the ass, a grown man is talking to a donkey. Because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in mine hand, for now I would kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, this is now they're having a conversation. Am not I thine ass upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. Now he's answering the ass's questions. And then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam. The Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. So again, we have possible confirmation that this is Christ. The Lord opened the eyes of Balaam. You see, because we can't see the spiritual world, can we? No. Elisha had a servant. They were surrounded by a multitude of the enemy, remember? And Elisha prayed, said, Lord, open my servant's eyes that he might see. What did he see? The chariots of fire. I wonder where they got that name from for the movie. The chariots of fire. He saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. You bet your bottom dollar he did. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee because thy way is perverse before me. Now, an angel of the Lord would be sent to warn. But the God of the Lord, the Jesus of the Lord would say, I got in the way because your way was perverse before me. The angel of the Lord wouldn't have the authority to say that, but God can say that. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee. But I thought God answered his prayer. I thought God gave him an open door. Nope. Perfect illustration of how we are duped and deceived by our sin, by our impure motives. And God might open what we think is a door, but trust me, it ain't his door. It's your door. And if it wasn't for a donkey who could see better, you'd be dead by now. Pastor, you're really taking this too far, aren't you? I had slain thee and saved her alive. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, what did he say? I have sinned. Now he's not going to confess to an angel, is he? Nope. For I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. I love that, don't you? Does that sound sincere? Lord, if I've offended you, I'll turn. I've been wrong. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. Now that's what kind of got my attention. Because of this theme, every time I see the word, I'm there with my golden yellow pencil, highlighting the word of God in my Bible. So I said, oh, only the word that I give you, that you shall speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. And when Balak heard, the king, that Balaam was come, the prophet, he went out to meet him unto a city of Moab, which is in the border of Arnon, which is in the uttermost coast. And Balak, the king, said unto Balaam, the prophet, did I not earnestly send unto thee to call thee? Wherefore camest thou not unto me? Am I not able indeed to promote thee to honor? Ding, 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 ding. CCC. What was Balaam's motive? The payoff. I want the money. I want the benefits. I want everything you want to give me. So the king knew that. Verse 8, 38. And Balaam said unto Balak, lo, I am come unto thee. Have I now any power at all to say anything? The word that God putteth in my mouth, that shall I speak. I wish that was the end of the story, but it isn't. So, could that be said of us? This is where I'm going to stop, right here. The word that God putteth in my mouth, that shall I speak. Is that your testimony? Thus saith the Lord. Is that my testimony? Nope, 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 nope. Because we figure out a way. We are PhDs in justification. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I can figure it out. I can figure this out. No! I can't go with you, men. But stay the night. If it wasn't for the Lord. But this is what God told me to do. This is what God told me to say. Sorry, I can't help you guys. If it wasn't for the Lord. If it wasn't for me being a Christian, I might reconsider. Wrong. 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 Don't even entertain the idea. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this crazy man, Balaam. There's more. This is just the beginning. But it's a great introduction to how often we deceive ourselves. The Word of God is clear, and yet we kind of bend it. Make it say what we want it to say. And we get ourselves in predicaments that are dangerous, if not deadly. And here a donkey saves this prophet. Because the donkey has more spiritual vision than the man of God in this particular scenario. Lord, that's a sad state for our dogs, our birds, our cats, to maybe see the angel of the Lord and for us to miss him. For us to think that the spiritual world doesn't exist. It does. It clearly does. And the spiritual world pays attention to what we're doing. So much so that God said, hey, go down there. This is a serious problem. This king wants my people to be cursed. That's not going to happen under my watch. Lord, we have some responsibilities under ours as well. Give us vision and sight, we pray. Allow the word of God to instruct us and teach us, guide us and direct us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Victor is going to pass out with the help of John Bailey our prayer sheets. We're going to do this different tonight. We're going to share prayer requests. And at 8 o'clock, if you need to go to the wake and viewing, please do so. Okay? You're free to go if you need to go. 10 o'clock tomorrow at Amagon in the village town of Lancaster on Broadway. Starts at 10 o'clock. Be there on time. Pray for that funeral service if you can't come. Our church will be open up at 11:45 to a catering company. Cindy's in charge of the kitchen. They're bringing food in. And we have water, drinks, coffee, all that stuff, desserts. And we're going to minister to them in the fellowship hall. And if you have some free time, it might be nice around 1 or 2 or 3 to help clean up so they don't have to. Okay. All right, I just need one of those sheets. If the pastor could get one, that'd be sweet. Thank you.